All right, Kevin Barker, I guess we could split this into two parts here. Talk about Max Scherzer. It was Scherzer's day after all. And I was absolutely fine with what I saw from Max Scherzer today. We'll talk about that in a minute, but let's talk about the game itself. A 5-4 loss to the Cleveland Guardians. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, 590 is a text line. All right, Kevin, let's talk about that last inning first of all, the 10th inning, and Guardians walking off the Blue Jays in a bases-loaded single by Jose Ramirez after an intentional walk to Stephen Kwan, and then a bunt drop by David Fry. How did you see that play develop? I mean, Tyler Heineman fielded the ball. Vladdy was coming in. Andrés Giménez seemed to have started right around second base. I don't know if he made his first move to second and then reversed field and went to first and got to first late, whatever it was. But, I mean, Tyler Heineman really didn't seem to have any play there. So break that down for me.
Well, I mean, the whole – planning that is when David Fry is bunting, that allows you to walk Jose Ramirez, which is the biggest thing, right? I mean, coming into this series, you don't want to let that dude beat you. You know, that's real easy. It sort of seemed to me like that David Fry caught him off guard by the bunt, and that was a decent bunt, right? I mean, they were basically trying to get the runner at third when they should just be trying to get an out, because mm-hmm. you don't want to let Jose Ramirez beat you, right? That means Bo's covering first. Bo is going to second, Giménez is going to first, and Vladdy and Clement are crashing. I mean, it's baseball 101. It's not a hard play. Just seems to me like anyway they were caught off guard a little bit. I just think in the 10th inning you're doing whatever it takes, and sort of the Guardians allowed you to do it by bunting David Fry is to not let Ramirez beat you. You had already bought into Kwan not beat you. Now you got to let sort of the next guy in line is Ramirez not beating you. And when David Fry bunts there, you're just trying to get an out so you can walk the guy. And then, you know, now you're, it's every base kind of thing, right? That's mm-hmm. the best hope. So yeah, I mean, it sort of looked like they caught him off guard. They had the wrong play on. I have no idea what Giménez is doing. That's a very hard throw for Heineman to, you know, to sort of lead a guy. I mean, he's basically like acting like a quarterback,
right,
trying to hit a wide receiver going to first. If he'd have thrown it, would he have been out? Maybe. But still, it's a very hard play. They just had the wrong play on. And again, I get back to that. It seemed to me like they caught him off guard, which is too bad in the 10th inning.
Yeah, and the Jays did have a couple of chances in this game. And then the 10th inning, of course, you get the runner to lead off the inning. And you know, I know someone's going to call in or leave us a text in this, but just so we're clear, I think if you're the visiting team in extra innings with these rules now, you're playing for two runs. You're not playing for – so I know people are going to call up and say, why didn't they have Tyler Heineman bunt Vladdy Guerrero to third? I'm not a fan of that. You're playing for two runs. You're playing for two runs on the road. That's at least the way I see it, Kevin. I don't know how you see it.
Yeah, here's how I see it. I would not question that inning. I would question why you're running for Kirky in the eighth inning. You got Springer up who's been, you know, doing some things with the extra base hit. Kirky's been one of your best offensive players. You're thinking late in the game, if I get Hoffman in the game, you know, probably this thing's going to go to extra innings. I want one of my best hitters still in the game. Kirky just had a day off. It ain't like he's, you know, been abused behind the plate or playing too much. Why are you pinch running for him?
Well,
You got to have faith in your ninth inning guy in Hoffman. You got to, a one run's going to do it against Cleveland. I mean, let's be real about this thing. Okay. So, you know, just trying to think about the dude scoring from first instead of thinking kind of ahead and saying to yourself, what's a better chance of things happening? This dude scoring from first or me thinking that our team's going to have to go to the 10th inning and I want one of my better hitters coming up? Who would you rather have up in the 10th inning, Kirky or Heineman with a runner on second? I know my answer. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see the point of playing for a couple of runs there as well from a different from John Schneider's point of view. But, I mean, let's also give Jacob Junis credit. The striking out Ernie Clement and Alan Roden, the changeup he threw to Clement was filthy. And he threw another changeup to Roden. I mean, I'm going to give the guy credit for that. I also like, frankly, the decision to walk Nathan Lucas. Originally, when Stephen Vogt did that, I thought, okay, you're putting Ernie Clement in a situation with the bases loaded, and Ernie's a guy who, you know, has come through pretty regularly for the Jays recently. But I just thought that was – I thought Jacob Junis really – just really threw him a good pitch.
Yeah, he's got a good changeup. I think it's how do you get to the changeup. I mean, for me, it was Ernie taking the 1-0 sinker that was middle up.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you saw him take a 1-0 fastball up? Rarely, if ever. Bases loaded, why are you taking that? And the Roden thing looked to me like there and occasionally when you fall behind, well, the pitcher does 3-0, you sort of get in that in-between thing. Do I swing? Do I not swing? You get a sinker down and in 3-1, you got to go try and go back Lake City on that. He takes it. Everybody in the park knew Danny's going to get the changeup because that's Junis' pitch. So for me, it was more they overthought it in those two at-bats. Again, Junis has got good stuff. But if you get a pitch elevated with less than two outs with a runner on third, what's your ultimate goal? You ain't trying to, you know, drive in two or three runs. You're trying to drive in the dude from third. What easier pitch to do it on than a 1-0 sinker elevated middle up? Again, I ain't in the box, and I'm not Ernie, but Ernie's had a pretty good month. Ernie's had a pretty good season, hitting a little over 300. I just thought those two at-bats, you sort of overthinking it instead of just going up and thinking, runner on third, I'm trying to get something up. I'm not overthinking this thing. I know this dude's got a good changeup. I'm not trying to hit the changeup. I'm trying to hit something up. If it's a changeup, if it's a sinker, I don't care. I don't care what count it is. So for me, it was more of them overthinking it than how good the changeup was.
416-870-0590, star 590. Or 888-666-0590-590 is the text line. All right. The Jays, 5-4 losers to the Guardians. They will wrap up their series tomorrow afternoon. Max Scherzer, which, you know, I think for most people was going to be the story of this game. I think it's still the story of this game, long term at least. We talked about the importance of the Jays getting some sort of stability in the rotation. What did you make of Max Scherzer? Let me put it to you differently. Would you take that outing for Max Scherzer again next time out?
Absolutely. Every day of the week and twice on Sunday, because I would think it's only his tempo is going to get better. His conditioning is going to get better. That means his arm speed will be better. That means it'll be tougher to tell the difference between the curve, the change, and the cutter. The fastball was up. He maxed out at 95. He averaged 93. I mean, that's good, right? If you got that and you can then go to a balanced attack with the curve, the change, and the cutter, all of a sudden, now you're cooking with gravy. I mean, I think Joe was talking, you know, about the Arias, why you're throwing him a fastball. You got to remember, everything he throws, he's setting one pitch up with the pitch that he just threw, right? It's the cutter down. It's the slider down and away. He's trying to go up and away to set the next pitch up. That's how he's trying to get Arias out. He just missed. And, you know, I don't even want to say a decent hitter, but a big league baseball player, occasionally when you miss more middle then where you're trying to throw it, most guys that play every day are going to get, you know, have a good approach. So yeah, I thought his fastball was good. I thought the balanced attack was good. I thought for the most part he pitched ahead. I thought his tempo was really good. Other than that fourth inning sort of where he, you know, he forgot. I think he sort of just got into the groove of not paying attention. Umpire, you sort of, you know, you got to make sure the hitter's set. I mean, all that stuff, right?
The violation was, to me, just kind of the sign of a guy. I mean, he hasn't pitched in a game for forever, and I think you're right. He kind of got into things, and it got away from him there.
Looked to me like he's pitching around the lefty anyway. I know he fell behind. Yeah. I know he got back in the count, but it looked to me like the ultimate goal there with how many outs there was to get the eight-hole hitter out who was right-handed. And he'd sort of set it up the right way. He just missed location with the fastball. Other than that, I thought he's really good.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Kevin, when Stephen Kwan worked him for that nine pitch walk to start the game, I thought, oh boy, you know, I thought he's going to hit his pitch count in the within three innings. But that to me is the, you know, maybe the thing that I really liked out of him were a couple of quicker innings that where he managed to save himself some pitches and go deeper and limit damage. You know, the Arias two run double. I guess that's a pitch probably you'd want back, but I think you'll take that. If 35 four seamers, 15 curves, 14 changes, 13 cutters.
Yeah.
You know,
it's balanced.
It was very balanced. He got 7 whiffs total, 18 called strikes, 10 on the four seamer. I mean, yeah, him and Eric Lauer. I mean, I think that's probably the best 4-5 back to back outing you've had in some time. Two spots.
If he could bottle the velocity, he can maintain that through, you know, a couple of more starts. I just think the secondary stuff and the mental way of sort of the way he wants to work through, you know, just batters and pitches and setting up the next pitch. I mean, we've all listened to him talk. I mean, man alive. I mean, he is Bassett times two when it comes to how you're setting it up and how you want to put away a guy. All that's going to get better, right? I mean, the efficiency of when you get to two strikes, it's quicker outs. That'll get better because of just the location, the tunneling, how much harder he's going to throw the secondary stuff. I mentioned the conditioning, the arm speed. The better the arm speed is, the tougher it'll be to tell the difference between all those kind of things he's trying to throw to. And the second storyline is Vladdy finally got the head out.
Yeah.
Welcome to the season, big fella. Nice going.
Vladdy Guerrero with his 11th home run of the season. Pulled the
Don't get mad either. You get hit the next time you go to the plate. You want to hit homers? You know how they get home run hitters out? They pitch them in. Occasionally somebody's going to hit you. Deal with it.
Oh, you're talking about hit by pitch by Junis.
Yeah, you didn't like that, right? I mean, that's how you pitch. That's how you get dudes out who like to hit homers. You pitch them in, you crowd them, you make them uncomfortable. So I like that cat and mouse thing. Going forward here, it's going to be fun to watch.
Russ in New Jersey, you're on Blue Jays Talk. Hey, Russ.
Hey, how are you?
We are doing well, man.
Okay, I didn't hear you pick me up. Okay, listen, I was happy. Scherzer, you know, he had a rough first inning. Then, you know, Cleveland swung at some first pitches, which was great. You know, it's a big game tomorrow a little bit because there's two, you know, this is one of the teams that they might battle down the stretch to, you know, for the playoffs, and you're 2-3. So, you know, if they win tomorrow, then, you know, it goes to the next tiebreaker, which Cleveland has done very, very well.
That's a great point.
And the Blue Jays are. I wanted to ask you one question, and I didn't see the play, so I'll ask you. George Springer stole, because I looked away for like 2 minutes, I had to do something. But Springer, it seems like, stole second base in the 10th inning.
Yep.
Now, why I was surprised, and listen, I'm always surprised, and maybe I'm wrong. If a base hit there gives you two runs, you probably lose the game if you're Cleveland. Now, if they, I wouldn't steal there because I thought they would have taken the bat out of Ernie Clement. And I'm not saying Ernie Clement, you know, is Mickey Mantle here. But he's from the better hitters in the game, and behind him you have Roden, or Schneider, if you pinch hit. I was a little surprised that he took off, and I was more surprised that the Indian manager didn't walk Clement, because like I said, you don't need a home run here. A base hit there makes it 6-4. So, you know, I thought, you know, just was wondering what if you thought, you know, maybe Springer, as much as you'd like the 2-run single, I'd like to bat in Clement's hand over Roden or Schneider.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Thanks, Russ. I'll pass that on to you.
I think it was two strikes. That's why he's still in second. And again, you know, for me, it was more about why did you take away the hole, right? The hole between first and second.
We saw that big hole that was there. It was
hole.
Massive.
Well, Santana all of a sudden now is taking away the hole by, you know, he's an athlete over there, right? I mean, athletes can take away the hole when you're playing first. It's just not a stiff standing over there. He can defend his position. So now all of a sudden, because you stole on the base, you're taking away Ernie and the hole. Look, I don't think Ernie had the best of days seeing the baseball. At least it looked like to me, you know, they were throwing him more breaking balls. They were, you know, elevating heaters in sort of certain counts that just looked like kind of it throwing him off. And I think they were sort of noticing that and trying to put pressure, maybe getting a throw down too. Might have been sort of putting pressure on the guy that was standing at third. Mm-hmm. Maybe can steal a run that way. So. Yeah, I didn't work out. I didn't mind that. I just think that taking away that hole between first and second sometimes is a little head scratching. But, you know, it was a, what was it, a 10 or 12 pitch at bat? I mean, yeah. You just didn't work out.
Why don't we take a break, come back, a look at the out of town scoreboard, courtesy of our friends at Bet365. And we'll also hear from the manager, John Schneider. We'll see what he thought of that final play of the game, the Cleveland Guardians walking off the Blue Jays 5-4. It is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Seen Stephen Kwan get plenty of hits, you know, against righties and lefties, so just wanted to get an out there. Just looking at it quickly, I haven't talked to Heine or Hemi. Just wanted to, I think Hemi would have gotten there. Just want to get that out. You walk Jose, take your chances. You know, it's one of those things where I think if Heine can do it over again, he probably throws it over to first base.
So everybody kind of followed the assignment there for what was
Yeah, Hemi's kind of keeping the runner close. It's not a wheel play, kind of a regular bump play, and kind of holding the runner and breaking. He would have been on the run a little bit, but I think in that situation, if you could do it all over again, you get the ball close to Andres, and he'll take care of the rest.
That was John Schneider talking about the game-ending play, the bunt drop by David Fry, bringing in the winning run in a 5-4 Cleveland Guardians win over the Toronto Blue Jays. And I think, Kevin, that's pretty much more or less kind of what we were thinking about going on when we came in the air and talked about the play. I mean, I think what John Schneider's essentially saying is Andrés Giménez didn't get over there fast enough.
No,
it's a tough play.
I don't think it was because of lack of effort. I just think he's too close to the bag. You can hold a dude on without actually standing on the bag. Look to me like he's dang near almost standing on it.
See, I thought he moved towards the bag first and then went the other way.
You can do that whistling and yelling and beating on your glove. I mean, that's what they teach us. I mean, they've taught us that forever. You don't have to go over there. Look to me like he was way too close to the bag.
Mm-hmm.
You can do all of that, still keep a dude close, but just by making a little bit of noise. And then when you've made your enough noise and sort of can time up when the pitcher releases the baseball and the baseball gets in a certain area, then you take off for the first base bag. I think for me, it was more about Giménez than it was about Heineman. That's going to be a tough throw, Jeff. I mean, you're basically running up, stopping, turning your body with all that gear on and trying to rear back and throw a strike to a moving target. Good luck, dude. That means you're chucking that thing down the right field line. That's just me.
Let's take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard with Bet365. At Bet365, you can bet on popular markets like hits, home runs, and total bases. Download the app and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19-plus play responsibly. Ontario only. A couple of finals in the books involving American League East teams. The Texas Rangers beat the Baltimore Orioles 7-0. Jacob DeGrom carried a no-hitter into the eighth. He was perfect through six. Texas beating the Baltimore Orioles. The Boston Red Sox, they lost 5-2 to the LA Angels. Tampa Bay is leading Kansas City 3-0, and the Yankees we're up 7-1 over Cincinnati. That game is still in progress. So the AL East standings are as follows. The Yankees are 45-34. Tampa Bay, 44-35. The Blue Jays, 42-37. Boston, 40-42. And the Baltimore Orioles, 34-46. We talked about this before. The Rays are 7-3 in their last 10 games. And if you're paying attention to things such as run differential, they are a very solid plus 74, which is second best, I believe, in the American League, behind third best behind the Yankees and just behind the Detroit Tigers. And the Rays have Rays are doing more than simply hanging around. The Rays are really making some noise in the AL East. Do we have Max Scherzer? Okay, we've not been able to get Max Scherzer yet. Max Scherzer is expected to address the media again. A solid outing for Max Scherzer, 83 pitches. Pretty much, Kevin, I would say pretty much the way what John Schneider and Pete Walker needed to see out of Max. He did get up to 95 in that last inning. I think the fastball velo settled in around 93, and you know that was kind of the target area as far as the Jays were concerned, at least for this first outing. But I think you're right with Max. It's given where he is in his career and given how old he is, it's really more about sequencing and stuff like that now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see him sort of talking more, you know, about the game, and he was happy coming off the field. He was talking to the umpire about the pitch timer violation. It looked to me like, anyway, like he was more involved in that than worried about his thumb, his shoulder, his back, his ear, his face, like all the whatever it takes for a 41-year-old just on a bazillion innings would, you know, worry about. So that's a good sign. I just don't know how he bottles the velocity. If you can get that velocity from him with the way he can think through starts, I mean, Jeff, all of a sudden now you're thinking about, if you can get that from him to where there's some predictability every time you hand him the baseball, and then you try and figure out Kevin Gausman, who's pitching tomorrow and can consistently get whatever you're going to get from him, and you think you're sort of turned the corner on Bassett, and Barrios is sort of that constant, you know, guy which every time you're getting the baseball, it looks like he's giving you a quality start. I don't know. I mean, all of a sudden now with Lauer at the back end, maybe that frees you up to go out and do something else. Maybe you were thinking you needed a starter. Now maybe you go out and get you another batter, or maybe an eighth inning guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if you're the Jays, I've got a little bit of runway here with the trade deadline. The trade deadline is more than a month away, so one would think you would have a read on Max Scherzer by the time the deadline rolls around. And I mean, you know, who knows with Eric Lauer? We've seen guys do this before. Let's see Eric Lauer after four or five more starts. And I think the thing kind of hanging over this, and we keep talking about this, we just don't know about Anthony Santander. And if Anthony Santander is not going to be a factor this year, then I think you have to add another bat. As much as this lineup's been scoring runs, I think and we'll get better automatically when Dalton Varsho comes back. I think you have to add another bat. So, yeah, I don't, you know, I'll ask you this because you ask me this question all the time. And this to me is kind of the problem, because regardless of what Max Scherzer does, do you have a guy to start game one of the postseason?
Barrios, I guess.
Right, which, I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't change even if Max Scherzer is, you know, if this is kind of the regular Max Scherzer.
Yeah, I think the point is you got to make the playoffs. If you got four dudes and Lauer, now all of a sudden you're cooking with gravy when it comes to your rotation. You try and get a couple of dudes back healthy offensively, figure out what Hoffman's not doing right because Jimmy Garcia's back. Now you got a little wiggle room mm-hmm. to do whatever you want to do in that ninth inning. Yariel keeps doing what he's doing. You know, the American League's whatever it is this year, I just think it will help you sort of point the finger at exactly come trade deadline what you want to get that will take this team maybe to a little bit of a different level just by solidifying the four spot when it comes to Scherzer. So, yeah, I mean, you got to make the playoffs first, and he will help, I think, do that just by the predictability. And if Vladdy starts hitting things that are in, I mean, that's how you get him out, right? Mm-hmm. The Guardians are telling everybody, anybody that ever wants to watch how you try and get the big boy out, it's in. That, I think, now that's a cutter 94. That ain't a straight heater four-seamer, a little elevated that's crowding him. That's a little different, but it's nice to see him actually get the foot down, you know, beat the guy to the spot and actually get the ball in the air to the pull side. So you get that rolling and some other things happening. Scherzer's a nice surprise. I like it.
Speaking of Max Scherzer, let's hear from the man himself.
From physical side, it was actually good, very good. I actually got warmed up. Body felt great. You know, so you get the adrenaline of a big league game again. So it was good to get back out there and compete and have your body feel good and be able to make it through, get into the low 80 pitch count, and hold velo throughout the whole game. And even, you know, that's a good, you know, check mark sign is something that you look for, you know, as you're coming back and as you're ramping back up. So good in that regard. In terms of actually pitching, a little rusty. You know, I could execute better. You know, I pitched good. I didn't pitch great. And so, you know, there was a couple of pitches there that, you know, kind of changed the ball game. And you know, I got to be better in those situations. You know, I know what I need to do, know the checks I need to make. And so, you know, it gives you something to work on getting back out for next time back out there.
How much did the pitch clock violation in the fourth kind of change the complexion of that inning for you?
Oh, no, I made a bad pitch, so I'm not going to blame that inning on the clock. That was just a bat situation where he was tapping the plate, and usually a lot of times when the hitters tap the plate, like, that means they're ready, and then they look up. He was tapping the plate and still looking down, and so that just threw off the rhythm of the game, or just how we play baseball. Usually when you tap the plate, you're ready to go. That's why I was coming set early, even though I thought I was on time. It was just the flow of the game. I'm just in the flow of the game, thinking that's typically how the game unfolds. But, Bill made the right call. I mean, he wasn't looking. I get it. I talked to him about it, and it is what it is. I made a bad pitch to the next hitter. That's why they scored those runs.
Looked like you could locate your curveball pretty reliably throughout the night. How good of a sign is that for you going forward?
It's never about just one pitch. It's about all your pitches. And so, you could say that, yeah, I located the curveball good today, but there was other pitches I wasn't locating. And so I got to be better at that. I got to be better at, when I need to get to both sides of the plate, when I pitch up and I pitch down. And so I'll go back and dig through the video and really watch and try to fine tune this and really get it going. So next time out, I'm executing every pitch.
Well, there you go. That was Max Scherzer. About as optimistic as you could possibly be. Did you hear the word thumb? If I did, yeah. I heard it once.
I didn't hear it. Did you hear it?
I don't know. I may have heard it once, which, again, who knows what tomorrow brings. I mean, I know the first question everybody will be asking John Schneider or Max tomorrow is thumbs up or thumbs down. But, sorry. I know that's horrible.
That's a good one. You wrote that down, didn't you?
No, I did not write it down. I did not write it down. He said his body felt good. He held his velo throughout largely, which is good. He talked about through the whole game. That's a checkpoint. He pitched good, not great. And he explained what happened with Nolan, which I find really interesting. You know, the tapping your bat on the plate, generally a sign you're ready. And Max took it that way, and that wasn't the case. I find stuff like that interesting. Like, that does tell you how much into the game he was at that point in time.
Yeah, look, it's almost like an umpire who's been around forever, a pitcher who's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Sometimes you get the benefit of the doubt and be like, hey,
that's
you
fair.
Saw what I saw?
Yeah.
This is conversation. Maybe next time you don't get me on that.
Yeah, but it's interesting. Anyhow, so good and bad. The bad, the Jays lost 5-4. The good, Max Scherzer, folks, as we said, I'll take that the next time out, and the time after that, and the time after that. It was, Max Scherzer used the word baby, used the phrase baby steps a couple times in his recovery. I think that might have been more than a baby step from Max Scherzer tonight. So let's see what the next outing brings. The series will wrap up tomorrow, and then the Jays go on to Boston to take on the Red Sox. So thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Arnprior and Stittsville. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986. To protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center, or you can visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. Who knows what tomorrow brings? I mean, I know the first question everybody will be asking John Schneider or Max tomorrow is thumbs up or thumbs down. But sorry, I know that's horrible.
That's a good one. You wrote that down, didn't you?
No, I did not write it down. I did not write it down.